What can Socrates and Plato teach us about criminals and jails? Well, quite a lot, according to Peter Boghossian. He is chairman of the Prison Advocates Advisory Committee at a jail in Oregon and professor of philosophy at Portland State University. He's interviewed violent prisoners, he's given them a crash course in critical thinking and moral reasoning, and then he's tested the results. Peter Boghossian is speaking with James Carlton.
My goal was to teach them how to reason morally and think critically so that they'd desist from crime and ultimately stop hurting people and live better lives.
So what questions did you ask the prisoners and what did you learn?
So I pulled questions from the history of Western intellectual thought, the Platonic dialogue, so that's Plato, and then I asked them moral questions like, if you walked into your bedroom and you saw your girlfriend sleeping with another man, what would you do? And before I gave the intervention, the answers were things like, well, I'd kill him with a shoehorn, I'd throw him out the window, I'd, you know, stab him to death. And then I gave them the intervention, and then I asked them the same set of questions again, and their responses were less violent and less pathological.
Let's have an example now. Assume I'm a prisoner, and okay, I've killed someone because I found them sleeping with my wife. How would you be treating me?
With compassion and kindness.
What questions would you ask me?
So let's do it right now. So what were you trying to accomplish with that?
Revenge. Prevention of that man doing it again. An expression of my dissatisfaction.
So then you just threw out three reasons. And so my goal now is to instill doubt in each of those reasons. Right? So if your goal is to make sure the man wouldn't do it again, you've certainly accomplished that. That doesn't mean that your partner wouldn't do that again, right?
Correct.
So one of those reasons has now been undermined and doubt has been instilled. So then you're left with two other reasons. So you just sequentially target those questions so that at the end, the reasons that person had for action, you've undermined each of them. And through the instilling of doubt, you have a changed moral attitude. You've got to have a changed moral attitude because they've told you the reasons that they committed the act, and then you've caused them to doubt that, and then now they think, geez, maybe I made a mistake, and see how it's done. And it's not a Jedi mind trick. I mean, it's drawn right from the literature, uses the Socratic method and motivational interviewing and cognitive behavioral therapy, and you're just asking people sequentially targeted questions to make them more reflective about their beliefs and help them to doubt their course of action.
And pure critical thinking can lead to this outcome? Can't critical thinking lead to a violent or a criminal outcome?
Everybody thinks that, but I see absolutely no evidence for that whatsoever. I mean, I think that view is common, maybe even ubiquitous among people who aren't familiar with the literature, but I don't see that. So I will say something that just because somebody can think critically or reason well, that doesn't mean they're going to be a good or a bad person. It just means that they know how to reason well. So the question is, you know, how do you help someone not just to reason well, but to align their beliefs with reality? When you do that, then you're starting to talk about making substantive moral changes in people's lives. Can I tell you something my mentor taught me that was really an eye-opener for me?
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever had chickens, but there's a literal pecking order among chickens.
I have three, and there is.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So one of the things that researchers did was that they took seven chickens and they tried to reverse the pecking order. And they put little electronic collars around the necks of the chickens. And whenever a chicken went up, like cocked its head back to peck on another chicken, they'd zap it. And they wanted to see if they could reverse the pecking order. That is to make chicken one, chicken seven, and chicken seven, chicken one. So this was really a light bulb moment for me because I think this is universally applicable to everything, criminal justice systems, educational systems, everything.
The pecking order was changed.
Well, it was, but not in the way you think it was. It's very easy to make chicken one, chicken seven. In fact, a single jolt will do that. But you can't make chicken seven, chicken one, because chicken seven is pecked constantly. So there's no amount of shock that will make him the top chicken. Similarly, people who are incarcerated, they have structural barriers in their lives, and they come in pecking order 6, 7, and 8. So the way to deal with those people is not through harsh treatment or creating adversarial relationships or zapping them or shocking them. Quite the contrary.
It's quite basic. We can't all be top chicken. That's Peter Boghossian speaking with James Carlton. He's in Sydney to give a talk on his other great passion, atheism. You're giving that tonight in Sydney, and we'll put the details on our website. And next week on Late Night Live, he'll be speaking with Philip Adams about atheism and its role in deprogramming Islamic State extremists.